Since iTunes only keeps the last 100 episodes of any show, some of our show topics that seem to help the most people are no longer available when people search on iTunes. So, in an effort to make that information available to more people, from time to time we're going to re-air some of our most popular show topics. You can also go to kickitnaturally.com and search for any topic in our search box. For now, enjoy this show that originally aired in 2014.
T.C. Hill is not a doctor and does not claim to be a doctor or licensed in any type of medical field. Don't be an idiot and use anything heard on the show as medical advice. This information should be used for educational purposes only, and you should contact your doctor for any medical advice. Now get off me. Welcome to Kick It Naturally. I'm Kenna McEnroe, and I'm here with T.C. Hill, author, natural health expert, producer.
And we're just trying to make girls like us today. Two weeks in a row.
Every day.
Not every day?
Well, I try every day.
You try every day? Failing. Oh, I would never succeed at that. I would never succeed at that.
No comment. So that was TC, and the man that you can't see sitting to my left is Will Schmidt.
I can see him.
Fitness trainer to the stars, extraordinaire. Who do you train? Come on,
Elvis.
You want names.
That's confidential.
Uh-huh. Oh,
Yeah, sorry.
Oh, bummer. Okay, so last week we were talking about PMS, and this week we're talking about full-blown cramps. This is going to get good up in here, y'all.
Yeah, up in here.
Yeah, and if you haven't liked us on Facebook, why not? Go to kickitinthenuts.com. Just kick it in the nuts. What am I saying?
That's on
where
Facebook.
We post. Yeah, on Facebook. That's where we post topics every single week. Like on Sunday, we'll post a topic, and then you guys can ask your questions and... You know, if you're not too much of a jerk, we'll probably try to answer them.
We created some jerks this week.
We did, and I'm waiting until I am about to start. Now I'm going to go on a rampage and find
well,
these people.
It's probably my fault, I'm sure, because we put a post that said guys should get cramps for at least one day.
Oh, more than one day.
And so all these girls shared that, and we're all excited about it. And then guys got really...
Mm-hmm.
You just want to punch them.
Yeah. And a lot of guys thought they were doctors, too, which I really liked.
We'll get to that. But, you know, it is true that, because we probably deleted most of the guys that were like, who cares if they're getting cramped or whatever. Because, I mean, but it's like everybody should be a waiter for one day. And
exactly.
Then all of the lousy tippers would disappear. So I think if guys had menstrual cramps for a day, then maybe they'd be a little more compassionate.
Mm-hmm. That's a good idea. Mm-hmm. I definitely think waiting tables should be mandatory when you're growing up.
Yeah, or you just don't get to eat out.
Exactly. You don't have enough money to tip. You don't have enough money to eat out.
That's and also people that have never done that, they're rude and they treat people like they're a servant. Or So we're just trying to expand experiences of all kinds.
All right, so menstrual cramps. Go ahead, guys. Tell us what you know about menstrual cramps.
Because we know everything.
All your uterus.
I know that I don't get any menstrual cramps, so I must know what I'm talking about. I must know how it works.
Right. You wrote a whole book on not getting menstrual cramps.
We do, and we totally forgot about that until the end of last episode. Then we have a whole book on kick menstrual cramps in the nuts.
Could have been in your notes.
And done with menstrual cramps.
Yeah, it's just the same thing, just a less...
Less funny.
Obnoxious
version. Well, the
first
one's not really funny either, but...
Someone's on their menses.
But, you know, cramps can be a big deal. And, like, I've talked to a lot of women that they just become completely debilitated. Like, they can't even function. Mm-hmm. And all they can do is ball up in the fetal position and lie in their bed for a day or two.
Or like, play with knives and stab people.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. So, It can really be a serious issue and can really wreak havoc on somebody's life. I mean, even once a month, to have an issue that is going to, you know, that you're going to be ruined for like, you know, 3 or 4 days once a month, that's not good.
I wonder if anybody's ever used that as a defense. Like, really, like they really did end up killing somebody. They followed through on what they felt like doing during their period. And then they're like, oh my God, what did I do?
And
they blame it on the cramps or the period and...
I cannot answer that.
Hopefully they got a woman judge.
Yeah.
She could sympathize.
So what we're going to do today is if you're a person who deals with that situation, not murdering people, but horrible cramps, then we're going to teach you why that most often happens and steps that you can take to improve that. And what you need to understand is that you're not going to be able to take this information wait till your cramps to show up and then use it and think that it's going to be like a Midol or some kind of morphine or something. It's not going to fix it overnight, but you can do the work so that your next period will not be so devastating.
All right.
So I guess we'll get into questions and then we'll explain things as we go.
Nikki from Norfolk, Virginia. Cramps are real. I always thought cramps were an excuse women...
She's asking.
Cramps are real? There's a question mark there. Cramps are real? I always thought cramps were an excuse women made up for other women to get out of work or chores or something, LOL. Yeah, that is a good excuse, but I still had to do my work and chores. I never got out of it.
But it's certainly not something that guys usually argue with.
Yeah, exactly. Like no, don't come in today.
It is
we
a good card to play.
Yes.
Haley, they couldn't handle it.
She's referring to the post.
Guys should get cramps. Sarah, they'd think they were dying if they did.
And I agree. I would not do well. I'm a little girl.
I can just when see I'm you not bawling. Doing,
if I'm sick or something, I'm a whiny little girl.
That's a sexist.
Yeah, it is a little bad. Yeah.
Whiny little girl, what?
Well, I'm just going by what people...
You just dug a hole.
Excuse me?
I'm just going by what people call me. That's all I know.
Okay, then it's okay. Walter, I think that's crazy to think men don't have love and compassion for their wives and girlfriends who goes through that agony. Walter, stop it, Walter's trying to get a date too.
Right?
He's like, I want all the girls with PMS, send them to me.
Okay,
but for real, I give a pretty big pass when a girl is on a period and or having a hard time from it or having cramps or something.
Sure.
Will, I don't believe you. I can see the.
From testing people and that sort of stuff, I know like if they have low blood pressure, when we started the session, I know like by halfway through the session, they're not going to be able to hear anything I'm saying. So I kind of like I have compassion based on just knowing what an organism is capable of.
Now here is something that has happened to me. It was not as nice, and it does deal with Kenna. But like at the end of this episode, you will understand what to do to avoid from having horrible cramps. And Kenna has understood this information for a long time. And there have been times in the past where she may have done those things anyways and then ended up with horrible cramps. And maybe I was not as compassionate at that time. Maybe I was like, well, that's what you get.
Is this your way of apologizing in advance for a fiasco that's imminent?
No.
Okay.
No, but like I said, the last one, I'm really good at apologizing. And, you know, it's like I know that it's like I can see it. It's like logically I know I shouldn't be crying or I know I shouldn't be upset, but it doesn't matter. It's like it's going to happen.
Right.
We already talked about. Walter, Jeff, I have Crohn's. I feel ya. Aw. Listen to our Crohn's episode, right? IBS Crohn's.
Uh-huh.
Steve from Glasgow, UK. I get cramps on a near daily basis. IBS. Some days has me in so much pain I can barely stand or fasten my trousers.
And it's my understanding that a lot of these cramps really can be just as bad. And these guys probably really do know, have a point of view to stand on. But you guys should also know that you don't have to live with that. We see people fix IBS all the time and fix their cramping situations. So listen to our, it's an episode, it's called Understanding Crohn's, Colitis, and IBS, I think is what it's called.
Yeah.
Listen to that and also read chapter 9 and Kick Your Fat in the Nuts and do that stuff. And if you do those two things together, you'll likely be able to see some improvement.
And also with menstrual cramps, like when we do the steps we're going to mention in a minute, like you can really help get rid of those.
Yes, I think some of them, some of them, they need to fix bile flow and stuff like that is really important for a lot of IBS people. But and a lot of them need to remove grains altogether as to where you could probably fix some menstrual cramps without doing those things all the time.
You know, I was just saying menstrual cramps are also treatable.
Oh, right. Yeah. Good answer. Good answer. A+.
And if you want a book, that book, Kick Your Fat in the Nuts or Your Menstrual Cramp in the Nuts by Tony. Today's show is brought to you by audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at kickitinthenuts.com/audiobook. Over 150,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. But we know you want to choose Kick It in the Nuts.
Yeah, so Kick Your Fat in the Nuts is an audiobook, and they can get that free. But kick menstrual cramps in the nuts is just a book. Like, you have to actually open it and read it.
Oh, well, darn.
I didn't even know they made those anymore.
If you get the Kindle app on your phone, you can get your phone to read it to you.
Yeah.
Using like voiceover.
You're telling me about
Sounds
that.
Like a robot.
That's awesome. I like robots to talk to me.
Yeah.
All right. Laura from Los Angeles, California. Why are some of my periods completely painless while others are a total nightmare? And Tomas from Bratislava, Slovakia. Because the egg is peeling itself differently every time, so it can prolong the process or cause cramps. Did you have biology in elementary school? Guys shouldn't have to tell this to women. You have to know your own body, girl, or everything sucks. You can control your health that way. Jeez, girls, these days, what do they teach you in those schools? Well, they didn't teach him English.
It's really funny to look at this, because this was posted on Facebook, and apparently that Laura's school didn't teach anything about biology, and Tomas's school didn't teach anything about grammar, punctuation, spelling, or how to be a decent human being,
social etiquette,
and interact with others.
Right. And I looked at his page. I won't even tell you what it says on there.
Oh, look at that. Seemed funny. Kind of stalking people.
Yeah, now I'm
from
stalking
him.
I'm going to send him messages. You're a jerk.
Yeah, right.
And then Julio from Laredo, Texas. That moment when a guy explains periods to a girl.
Yeah.
There's some funny people on board.
But let's at least look at Laura's question and answer it legitimately.
We didn't have biology in elementary school yet. I think that was like, I don't know.
Apparently in Slovakia, they're on top of it.
Right. So let's get into a little bit about why cramps happen, and then we can explain more in depth than Thomas did about just varying exacerbations of the pain, why it might be worse one time than the other. So let's look at what cramping is, and whether it's a menstrual cramp or even just a Charlie horse of some kind. You know, a Charlie horse, like you get that cramp in your calf in the middle of, you know, the middle of the night, it wakes you up and it feels like somebody stuck a car battery on your leg. And so what this is that there are minerals that are involved in muscle tissues contracting and relaxing. So if some of those minerals are not at the tissue level where they're supposed to be, then the muscles might not function correctly. So for instance, if you don't have enough calcium at the tissue level, your muscles can contract, but it's harder for them to relax, and that's when we get those Charlie horse-type situations. So there's a lot of reasons why someone may not have enough calcium at the tissue level, and this same situation can happen in the uterus and other places where other tissues can contract and relax, etc. So, Will, let's talk a little bit about why someone may not have enough calcium at the tissue level.
Yeah, well, especially around their period, they may be overall electrolyte deficient or low on resources, because a lot of your body's mineral resources go towards making a baby or trying to make a baby. So,
setting the body up to make a baby.
Right. Yeah. So if you're someone who's already usually kind of low blood pressure or low on resources, and then you've got to give all this extra, like, best of the best, like, cellular resources to potentially making a baby and all the resources that you use going through your menstrual cycle, then those, your muscles, as well as, like, your brain function and blood pressure overall, are going to be deplete of the amount of energy that they're used to functioning on, and they might not fire right. It reminds me of, like, a time, not that I've ever had menstrual cramps, but there was a period in high school when I was running track and I was also fasting during like Lent. I used to be really Catholic.
Well, that's a good idea. So track and fasting.
Track and fasting.
Good
and
good
we would do these really intense, like long distance fast runs, like couple, 3-4 miles at like as fast as we could. And when I'd finish, like my legs would just cramp and stay cramped. It wasn't like a moment. It would just be locked down, right? And that's my closest thing to like a menstrual cramp I've ever had. It's like normally if I get a cramp in my side, I can just stop running, but I was so depleted, it didn't matter if I was running or not. I was just like, I had nothing. And that's where a lot of women are when they're already low on mineral resources and low blood pressure, and then they lose all these extra resources in the menstrual cycle. Now they're just, their muscles are just screwed. They've got nothing.
Right. And when minerals and resources are low, a lot of people view it as, oh, I just don't have them. But the body has a lot of backup plans. And when it needs stuff, it'll often go looking for it, which means that it can pull minerals and nutrients out of tissues. It can even break down muscle tissue and use that as a resource. It can pull minerals out of our bones. And have you heard of osteoporosis? You know, people look, a lot of people look at osteoporosis like its bones are being attacked by the body. But we view it as these people that have osteoporosis also have low resources and an inability to bring more minerals in through poor digestion. So the body's just breaking down the bones to get more stuff. So for a lot of these situations, when calcium or other minerals are leaving the tissues, it can be a case of the body just getting what it needs, since what it needs is not coming in through the food that they're eating. Mm-hmm. Do you want to explain digestive issues? Yeah. We talked about some of this in the last week's episode in PMS. So we'll just breeze over this real quick so we can get to more cramps, but explain why digestion needs to work.
Yeah, so if we don't have both good stomach acid levels and good bile flow, then we don't get like the magic explosion that digestion should have, where the stomach acid acidifies the food and then sends it into the intestinal tract. And where it starts at the intestinal tract, the bile should collide with that acid, and the bile is really alkaline. So it creates this combustion, this literal chemical explosion like baking soda and vinegar. And that's where a lot of the nutrition is liberated from our food. So if you don't have both of those things, that acid and that base, you don't get that explosion. And then even if you're eating like super organic, like mineral dense foods that are perfect for your chemistry, if you don't have that explosion happening from acid and bile, then you miss out on most of the nutrition from your food. And then you'll also probably have unstable blood sugar levels because you're not able to use proteins and fats and carbs in a nice even manner. And that will also make your blood pressure even lower.
I like that you said that about the digestion working, because people can think, okay, I'm eating everything perfectly.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, what the hell? And it's like, okay, because your digestion isn't working, so you're not even getting your nutrients, and you're still having cravings, and you're, you know, all this stuff.
Yeah. Right, you're just paying for expensive poop when you're buying good food, but you're not breaking it down. You're treating your toilet to a good time, but you're not getting any of the benefit. And so when we understand this, you know, the strength of digestion, our ability to break down foods, can vary greatly depending on so many different topics. And we teach about a lot of those in our free 4-week digestion course at kickitinthenuts.com. So if you have digestive symptoms at all, like what are the most common ones, Will?
If you had low stomach acid?
No, I mean, or, any kind
oh,
of
any, like, if you had acid reflux or heartburn, constipation, diarrhea, nausea, bloating, gas, I could go on.
Burping,
right.
So if you're dealing with any issues like that, there's likely some digestive issues going on. And if digestion is worse at one time than another, then the period that goes along with that could be worse. If you used up more resources, maybe you were doing marathon running or something like that, or more exercise, or you had more stress in your life, all these things are part of that formula that decides how much resources does my body have available to use right now.
Mm-hmm. I used to think, like, before I started working with you, that everybody has gas, it's normal, it's what we do, we're humans, right. We do that. Yeah. And then when I eat properly, I'm like, I can't remember the last time I tooted. You know, I mean, it's like you can go for a long time and you think, I don't have any gas, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So Jamie,
also we just wanted to review that Tomas was kind of a jerk.
Jamie from Berkeley, California. My friend has never once had painful cramps. How is that possible? I know, and that drives me crazy too when I meet people that are like, I don't ever have any problems.
And yeah, I think we had a couple of people here that were like, I've never had cramps once. And they were girls kind of thing. And but when you understand what's going on, why not? If they have everything functioning correctly, then they should not have cramps, especially severe ones.
Yeah, and that might be really good news for people who just think that's just part of the deal, you know? Mm-hmm. Kind of like some people think that like childbirth just has to be as bad as like suicide. Like, it, you know, it can go smoother. Not that it's going to be pain-free, but it can most likely be a lot easier on your body if your body has all the resources it needs and your body chemistry is balanced. So in looking at why your friend doesn't have cramps and why you may, you might want to check out where their body chemistry is at and where yours is at. And you can do that using the different self-tests that we teach how to do in the free digestive issues course at Kick in the Nuts.
Also dress like her and get your hair cut like
yeah.
her.
Yeah, try to talk like her too.
Yeah.
So, but also when we're looking at someone else and we all react differently to the types of foods we're eating. So one thing that we really need to cover is Kenna's favorite topic.
Sugar.
Sugar. Mm-hmm. So what happens is when we consume sugar or we consume carbohydrates that are turned into sugar in our bloodstream, then calcium will follow sugar. And why not? It's a good time. Mm-hmm. So what happens is calcium will leave the tissues even and follow sugar into the bloodstream. So that can be a cause for a lot of depleted calcium at the tissue level where the calcium needs to be in order for that muscle and those tissues to be able to relax when they contract so that they don't have cramping. So a lot of people will have cramps just because they're consuming so much sugar, so many carbs, and a lot of them are doing that because they can't digest protein and fats correctly.
Mm.
All right. Brioni, Brisbane, Queensland, Australia.
Oh, you know, there was one other thing I wanted to say about Jamie's case. So in we mentioned like looking at your self-test numbers versus your friends and seeing how they're different. You might want to do that also with yourself and see how your chemistry is different from like 1 month to the next. If you didn't have cramps last month or you don't
yeah,
have them next month.
You keep know? A journal of it. Yeah.
Right. You can see like, oh, well, this month I didn't really like stay on top of eating my salts or taking my minerals or taking my digestive supplements or whatever. And I had really bad cramps. And what was the difference? Like, oh, my blood pressure was in the dump and my urine pH was crazy high and my blood sugar was really unstable. So you can learn like how those self-tests aren't just for fun or just because we like to make you do
fun.
They're so fun, but they're not for fun. That's not
oh,
why.
They right? are weird.
Yeah. So like,
be on a stick. Come that, on. It's good times. Yeah, all the cool kids are doing it.
Those little, that little information that you gain from like, oh, my blood pressure is really low. It can save you. Like some people will take on this whole like a candida cleanse, like a 8-9 month thing of I can only eat chicken or broccoli or whatever, you know, and not, and be on this very strict thing to try to like correct these different symptoms that they're facing. And it may just be as simple as like, oh, my blood pressure is really low. Let me take a couple steps to do that and I can still, you know, enjoy my life.
All
so
right.
They're very insightful, can help you use very targeted nutritional approaches to fix the present imbalances in your case and can shed a lot of light on the science behind your symptoms and give you efficient.
So before we get to Brioni's question, we talked about this last week in the PMS issue, but let's talk about just real quickly tests that they can do simply and what information that can help us figure out for that person.
So we have videos that show how to do these different self-tests in the Kick It or in the Digestive Issues course at kickitinthenuts.com. But some of the main tests you'd want to look at in these cases would be your blood pressure, your urine and saliva pH, and possibly also your breath rate. And we want to see all those in like their ideal ranges. And if they're not, there's different nutritional steps you can take to fix those things. We describe that in the courses and in your books.
Right. So the biggest thing to look at is if your blood pressure is low, that's a reflection that you don't have a lot of minerals in the system. So if like the top systolic number was under 112 or something, we consider that to be low blood pressure. So if that's the case for you, then that would make sense why the body might steal minerals out of the tissues. It's because you don't have enough for the body to run all the functions that it wants to run. So if that's the case for you, then taking steps to pull more minerals into the system, like using sea salt, using these concentrates, mineral drops that we use, and improving digestion so that you can pull more minerals out of the food, all those steps could improve your mineral content and may reduce your body's need to pull minerals out of the tissues.
Mm-hmm. And if you do your urine pH and it happens to be really high, there's things you can do to directly lower it, which will help make your blood sugar levels more stable. Things like taking vitamin C as ascorbic acid or even MSM. And then also knowing what foods affect your pH. So in your books, you have like we have a pH balancing chart, right?
Mm-hmm.
Those. So you can see all these different nutrients and foods that can push your urine pH down if it needs to, and you can become aware of foods that push your urine pH up. And depending on where your urine pH is, you use the right foods and avoid the wrong ones, and it balances you out.
So I just realized something else that we need to cover here. I'm going to write it down so we don't skip it. But you know, when you look at your urine pH, and a balanced urine pH is usually around 6, you know, it depends on your breath rate where the optimal one is, but 6 is pretty normal. And if you're up above 6.5, that's a strong indication that you have too much calcium floating around in the bloodstream. And that's usually the case of consuming too many carbohydrates and pulling all that calcium out of the tissues. So if you see that number and that's high, then you know that you've probably pulled too much calcium out of the tissues, and that's why you're getting such cramps. Now, remember that calcium will leave the tissues because of consuming sugar and carbs, but it will also leave the tissues as vitamin D comes in. So if you were out in the sun a lot and got a vitamin D, or some doctor freaked you out and said you're going to have osteoporosis if you don't take 7 billion IU of vitamin D every single day, so you're like, okay. And all of a sudden you start getting Charlie horses, and now your cramps are the worst they've ever been. That's wrong.
Yeah.
What they're telling people to take for vitamin D is wrong. And we have an episode on understanding vitamin D, and it's right that as humans we need it, but
talk about it in osteoporosis and stuff too.
Yeah, we talk about it in that episode. But just like vitamin D can really come in and save the day, too much really can cause huge problems. It could turn off your immune system, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So, but those are some things that can pull more calcium into the blood, raise urine pH, and exacerbate these cramping situations. So by looking at these self-tests, you can get real understanding of you and your physiology and what you need to change.
Mm-hmm.
So we even see people that can, like, they'll reduce their carb intake, but even eating foods that contain fatty acids like salmon or, you know, olive oil, those fatty acids can help push calcium back to the tissue level where it needs to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's other cool nutrients that do that also, like lysine and MSM. So check out, if you want to dig deeper into that and you're like, wait, I don't believe you, I'm taking my vitamin D because I had a blood test and it said mine was low and all those things.
Good.
We have a whole podcast where we talk about all of that and can help you not be misled anymore. So the vitamin D episode, you can also listen to the one on, or we have two different episodes, one on the common cold and one on cold sores. And those, we talk deeply also about how vitamin D and sugar affect calcium, which directly relates to this issue also of menstrual cramps and muscle cramps in general.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Brioni from Brisbane, Queensland, Australia. Often cramps are due to estrogen dominance. I am interested in looking behind the hormonal balance and understanding how biochemistry influences hormones. Thanks. P.S. Sounds like you need to do a show on why the man above is so full of beep.
Tomas
is getting haters.
Yeah. Well, there's a really great article one of our favorite thinkers, Ray Pete, wrote about hormone balance, estrogen, and that kind of thing. If you go to raypete.com, you can see some great things.
He's keep sounding like you're saying rape Pete.
Rape
Pete. Ray Pete.
I was. No, raypeat.com. And yeah, you can read his articles about estrogen and hormone balance and cortisol and all sorts of cool, fun stuff.
Cool.
Yeah, and so when we look at hormonal imbalance, like Brianna's talking about, and that's it's all accurate. Everything she's saying is true, and when we look at the numbers, it all comes out right. But we talked a little bit in the PMS episode about how it's not always the hormones' fault.
Mm-hmm.
A lot
it's
of
usually
times,
the man's.
Yeah, it's usually the man's fault,
mm-hmm.
and we're sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Please believe us. But what happens is when resources are low, where the body can't do all the functions that it needs, that it will often call on hormones and jack hormone levels up in an effort to try and get things to work correctly. So a lot of times just fixing the electrolyte balance or proper nutrients or where calcium is, a lot of times fixing those things can help hormones be more in balance and function correctly as well.
Yeah, and also we can do well to look at our protein sources and our amino acid ratios in our diets. This actually really affected our formula for our protein powder that we were creating, of looking at, like, when I initially had the idea of it, I was thinking of using a whey protein, and then you and our other mentors helped me see way better that whey can really elevate estrogen levels, and other foods like collagen could be a much more balancing set of amino acids. And in our general diet in America, like, we have way too little glycine and amino acids that are associated with collagen, and probably a lot of foods that are overly estrogenic. So you can learn.
Soy is very popular still, and even if it's not popular, soy oil is in so many products and everything, and that can create estrogen dominance too. So foods can screw up hormones, and then the body itself can jack levels to where they're not balanced. So there's a lot of ways for things to go wrong there.
Yeah. And Ray Pete's article on gelatin, stress, and longevity talks a lot about that also.
Cool. There's another book, Men Are From Mars and Women Are From Venus. Maybe Tomas should read that one. Caitlin, perks of being on birth control.
Uh-oh.
Don't even get Tony started. I think one of the worst times he was ever pissed off at me was when I went and got on birth control.
Huh.
Well, we have a whole podcast episode about that, so let's just...
Do we have one that's just on birth control?
I thought we did.
I don't think we did.
Didn't
we?
No.
How did we not do that one yet?
I think we do, actually. We should.
No, really?
I think we've talked about it, but I don't think we...
Wow.
I thought we'd had one on cramps at this point, because, we've been in menopause. Yeah.
But, so when you look at birth control, we'll just do it briefly and kindly. It is used sometimes to regulate someone's period and to make it function a little bit better, because it can kind of force hormones to make that all happen. The problem is that it appears that many forms of birth control have the ability to sludge up the bile by affecting the estrogen levels. And what this does is it blocks a lot of girls' ability for their bile to flow correctly. And that's a whole bunch of problems coming. And if you listen to any of our digestive episodes or ever heard us talk about bile at all, bile is the main exit pathway for filth, for the body to get rid of junk.
And a key component in digestion. Like, without bile, you can't digest fats, you don't neutralize the acid from your stomach after it does its job in the stomach, and so all those foods then become problematic for you.
Right, and that's when people, they have no bile flow, so they can't emulsify fats, then fats can turn out making them feel nauseous.
Mm-hmm.
So then they say, well, I don't like to eat fats, they make me nauseous. So they stop eating fats. And then they have an inability to break down protein correctly from their poor digestion. So they gravitate towards just carbs and sugars, and maybe they become vegetarian or something. So they're eating all these carbs, and all this sugar is pulling the calcium out of the tissues, and their cramps are becoming horrible.
Mm.
So when you do anything that's going to turn off half of digestion the way that a lot of birth control can, it's going to turn into a lot of problems down the road.
And that makes sense. Like, even though it regulates your period, you're still crazy. You're a maniac. Even worse. I mean, I did that shot that one time for 3 months. It's like, gives you all of it in one shot, and you're protected for 3 months. And I was insane. Like, I was literally insane for 3 months.
Yeah, and it's, you know, by shutting off bile flow, it's the reason why a lot of girls gain weight when they're on birth control, because the filth doesn't have an ability to get rid of out of the body, and so it starts to get stored in fat cells, and it's just a lot of trouble. So there is one perk that can come from birth control.
No baby.
With the cramps. Yeah, there's no baby is a good one too for a lot of people that are not ready to have a baby. But the price that you pay is not worth it, and the trouble is that most girls don't even know that they're paying the price.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you don't necessarily get the cramps, maybe because of the hormonal impact, but also because you're not losing the minerals anymore, right? So if we can just look at, like, all right, well, if I'm getting cramps because of this little mineral situation, I don't have enough calcium in my muscles because it's all, I'm bleeding it all out, you just take steps to naturally improve your mineral resource levels. You'll be able to have a regular period and not have such crazy cramps.
Right. I'm
just trying to connect the dots of like...
So there are ways to improve the cramps beyond birth control.
Yeah.
So we find that people do much better with those.
All right, Dorinda. How do you know when cramps are normal or for something a little more serious? I had horrible cramps my entire life, and doctors acted like it was normal and told me to take a Motrin. Fast forward to mid-30s, and I had to have surgery for severe endometriosis, which was apparently why my cramps were so painful. On top of the endometriosis, I was later diagnosed with PCOS. I don't know what that is. My thoughts are that...
Polycystic ovarian syndrome.
Okay. My thoughts are that any severe cramping should be investigated further and not automatically be PMS or plain old menstrual cramps. I agree.
Right. So when you look at this situation, and Dorinda's very correct in all this, because what happens in a lot of situations in the medical world is that they run things off of blood work. And they'll take a blood test and look at the blood test. And if all the numbers are in line, they're like, we don't have anything to do for you. Everything is in line, so we can't do anything. Sorry about your luck. And the problem with that is that is blood is a compensatory fluid. And that means that the body can do a lot of things to compensate and make the blood right. Because if the blood goes way out of whack, we just die. So the body has a lot of maneuvers to keep that from happening. So it can beg, borrow, and steal from all these places to keep the blood in line, and all the blood will look perfect, but a lot of functions in the body are going completely wrong and haywire.
That's right. So useful and even more insightful sometimes for you to look at your own urine or saliva than it is for a doctor with like a full blood panel sometimes.
Right. Because you see a lot of people that they're, I mean, you can tell like they're green or something, you know, that you can tell they're having a horrible time, but the doctor's blood results look perfect. So they're like, you're in perfect health. And they leave there thinking, I just must be mental or something.
Yeah. I mean, that's what led me to this work in the first place. Like, I had this crazy, weird, seemingly MS type pain that and horrible eczema, but my blood looked perfect. My spinal MRI looked perfect. And there was just more to look at. So these little self-tests can tell you a whole lot.
So I want to talk a little bit about cramps and relating back to Dorinda's PCOS, because a lot of people are looking at PCOS now as an issue that happens with an extreme anabolic imbalance. Can you explain to the cellular level between anabolic and catabolic and all that, Will?
Yeah, it's kind of a complicated thing, but we go over it in the books and stuff as well as the fat loss course online in more depth. But basically, if your cells are too anabolic, they're not letting enough oxygen in because of some complicated stuff going on with the membrane, of it not being permeable enough. Think of like a sponge that should let like fluid and stuff in and out as you like squeeze
right,
it.
Right, so even minerals and nutrients can have a hard time.
Right, and it should be permeable, but if the cells are too anabolic, it's like a sponge covered in wax. It doesn't really do its job right. So that creates all sorts of issues where the cell doesn't let enough oxygen in, and that can mess up its metabolism. And it can also last too long. Like, cells should have this die-off rate. And when the cell has this low oxygen situation and it's screwing up the cellular metabolism and it's lasting too long, it can go into like some genetic problems and start to create more like cancerous cells where there's undifferentiated replication. And we see these types of, some types of cancer are more anabolic in nature. And we'll see that like when people abuse like anabolic steroids and things, they'll start to get weird skin growths and tumors and such. So we want to look at like what's happening at the cellular metabolism level when the cell is too anabolic.
Yeah. And so the catabolic state is where tissues break down so that they can rebuild. And the anabolic state is where they rebuild. So both states are good. We want to have both states happen. We just don't want to be stuck in one state most of the time. We're supposed to be catabolic during the day where the cells are more open, things are being broken down, cleaned out, and then at night they become less permeable and we rebuild, repair, all that kind of stuff. So what we see is that sugar and carbs are very pro-anabolic at the cellular level. So if someone gets stuck in that situation where they're eating a lot of sugars and carbs, maybe their digestion is poor like we talked about before, maybe their blood pressure is low so they just crave all this sugar, but it can push them into this extreme anabolic state, and a lot of people believe that that may be the situation behind a lot of PCOS issues and similar issues. And I'm hearing a lot of rumblings now from people using specific diets, like very low carb diets or even ketogenic diets, which we'll have a show on that in the next couple of weeks, but using diets with very little carbs to improve PCOS issues. And that really kind of confirms what we're thinking here, you know, especially looking at Dorinda, who had horrible cramps, horrible pain, and it turns out she had PCOS. That kind of makes you look at, well, is this because so much calcium was being pulled out of the tissues from all the carbs that were being consumed and pushing her into an overly anabolic state as well?
Yeah. And there's a really great book out called Cancer as a Metabolic Disease, where we may not agree with everything in that book, but to highlight what you're talking about at the moment, a lot of cancer cells are very dependent on glucose and sugar for energy and do not have the capacity to metabolize fats. So when you shift into more of a ketogenic fat-based diet, those glycogen-dependent sugar-metabolizing cells starve and die out.
Right, and I don't want to get into cancer too much, but one thing that's really important to understand is that I get really annoyed when I hear people say something like, fish oil will fight off cancer, you know? And the reality is that different types of cancer are very different in their makeup, how they react, nutrients or other stimuli that will make them worse or improve them. So cancer is just not one thing. It just happens to be how we discuss it. And so we're discussing it incorrectly. So if you're going to have a discussion about cancer at all, or any type of nutrient affecting cancer, you really need to look at what type of cancer you're talking about. Is it a tumor type of cancer? There's a lot of different things going on.
Yeah. And it's not correct to just say, oh, cancer is like an anabolic disorder or a catabolic disorder. And if you get deeper into the works of Dr. Emmanuel Ravici, who really got into understanding how this is all working with the membranes and the anabolic and catabolic distinctions, you'll find you can be in different types of catabolic and anabolic imbalances at different layers at the same time.
Right.
And it's a really complicated thing. But there's a really great book summarizing his life's work called The Doctor Who Cures Cancer, and you'll learn more nuances, and going over that can just help you understand, like, it's a complicated thing and can keep you from getting, like, brainwashed and thinking, oh, this is the cure for cancer. Like,
right.
Because it's never going to be just one thing, like, oh, a ketogenic diet fixes cancer. Not necessarily.
Right,
you know?
Right. So let's wrap up and talk, just do a quick review of, if someone has horrible cramps, what are the steps that they should take to see if they can get improvement?
Yeah, you want to, first off, look at your own body chemistry by doing the different self-tests we talk about. Look at your blood pressure, look at your urine and saliva pH and your breath rate and that kind of thing, and see what are the imbalances present in your case, and then learn how to use nutrition to help fix those and improve the strength of your digestion.
Yeah, the main thing you want to look for is, are there signs that show that minerals or resources are low? Or are there signs that show that you're pulling resources out of the places where they need to be, like the tissues?
Like a high urine pH would be one indicator of that.
And we teach what all these things can indicate in the courses, but those are really big when it comes to menstrual cramps. And if you can focus on those two things, people usually improve.
Yeah, just getting your blood pressure up and your urine pH down to around 6, which should be, can make...
Right, and for most people, they're going to have to reduce carb intake in order to do that, but...
Ooh.
Right, it sounds like an impossible task for so many people, but if you can fix digestion so that you're pulling nutrients out of real food, all of a sudden your need for those carbs and sugars reduces greatly.
Yeah, and I think last week you mentioned like you have to qualify to be able to do one of these low carb. Don't just stop eating carbs and then hate Tony. Right. Like first of all, like, work on fixing your digestion so you can.
I don't think I qualify yet.
Right. I still hate Tony. So no. So if you can work on getting your digestion able to use proteins and fats, and then you start feeding yourself those, then you'll find you can naturally reduce your carbs and not have cravings or hate Tony.
Yeah, and if you didn't listen to the last week's episode on PMS, or if you're listening to this on Terry James Alive Network, go to iTunes and listen to that past episode, because even if you don't have crazy PMS symptoms, a lot of that will really lead back to cramps and help you have a better understanding of steps to take too.
And then you can still hate Tony.
Yeah, and while you're hating us, if you're on iTunes, then don't forget to leave us a review that's nicer than your hatred for us, because that helps us spread the word. We really appreciate everybody that's left us awesome reviews. There's like 150 of you guys.
Rad.
So you
I'm
guys
tired
are
of rotten reviews.
Right, yeah.
Okay, today's show is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at kickitinthenuts.com/audiobook. Over 150,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. And if you want to look at how to check your own chemistry, you can read any of Tony's books or take the free 4-week digestion course at kickitinthenuts.com, or you can also go over to Will Schmidt's page, mybodyofknowledge.net, and he has a lot of interesting information too on his page, so you can check him out.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.